Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Creation Podcast, the show where we discuss the science that confirms scripture. I am your host, Trey, and this is a part two of a two-part series. So if you missed the first episode, you can click here and give it a watch. But for now, let's begin. So racism and its foul fruits have plagued humanity for thousands of years. And in the past couple of centuries, it seems to have reared its ugly head all the more. There are some that claim that the Bible promotes permanent racial divisions and is therefore either the cause or a major driving force behind modern racial hatreds. But is this true? In the previous episode, we looked at some of the claims about Scripture that are untrue, as well as the beginning of scientific racism in the West. Now, let's dig into that topic a bit further. To have this conversation with me, I have ICR's geneticist, Dr. Jeff Tompkins. Thank you for being here.
It's great to be here.
Yeah. Okay. So let's just dive right in. In the last episode, we talked a little bit about how, you know, the ideas of modern racism really took off in the founding of the evolutionary movement with Darwin and some of his cohorts, we'll say. Today, we're going to dig a little deeper. We're going to read a lot of quotes, some difficult things to hear and say, like some uncomfortable things that I'm going to feel uncomfortable saying on this podcast. I just know that they are quotes from people who are founders of this evolutionary movement. And we really want to make it clear that this is where it began. This is where the ideas of racism began. Race is inherent in evolution. We mentioned last time, the subtitle of Darwin's work is The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. And of course, he meant that to be kind of like about animals, but we know that...
he wrote a book on human evolution.
On descent of man.
Right.
And if we are nothing more than highly evolved animals from his perspective, then races includes us.
Right. Well, yeah, Darwin, you know, started the whole idea that we evolved from some kind of an ape. And, you know, what's interesting is that modern evolution claims that humans evolved in Africa because that's where chimpanzees live. And they claim that we're the closest thing to a chimp. And so, you know, they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. You know, it really, in reality, they're saying, you know, people in Africa are more primitive, but we're not racist.
Right.
But the scientific evidence doesn't support out of Africa. In fact, there's one science journalist that wrote a book called Into Africa, because we're finding a lot of fully human fossils in Asia, on remote islands, Asian islands, that allegedly are, you know, 1.5 to 2 million years old. And according to the out of Africa theory, humans didn't migrate out of Africa until about 100 to 200,000 years ago. Mm. So the fact of the matter is we have all these human fossils that are by evolutionary dating standards, which I don't.
Which are also faulty.
That actually existed before anyone left Africa that was evolved enough. So. Mm-hmm. But really, the whole out-of-Africa idea of human evolution, in my opinion, is racist, even though all these modern evolutionists would say, oh, no, we're not racist. Well, what are you promoting this nonsense for then? So,
right. Absolutely. And it began all the way with Charles Darwin. He was convinced of white racial superiority, although technically speaking, he disagreed with slavery, at least on moral grounds. So good for him, I guess, you know, credit where credit's due. But I have this quote from him that I'm going to read. We'll put it up on screen. I could show fight on natural selection, having done and doing more for the progress of civilization than you seem inclined to admit. The more civilized so-called Caucasian races have beaten the Turkish hollow in the struggle for existence. Looking to the world at no very distant date, what an endless number of the lower races will have been eliminated by the higher civilized races throughout the world. So there it is from the beginning. The elimination of lower races by the higher races. Do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, Darwin's whole idea is based on violence, this struggle to survive. In other words, everyone's in a fight, you know, to survive. Mm-hmm. And you know, Darwin, you know, promoted that with animal evolution and so forth. You know, animals are just struggling to survive and fighting and, you know, and clawing to get forward. But he also applied that to humans.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, in my opinion, that not only is the whole evolutionary idea undergird racism, but it also promotes, you know, these violent struggles as part of it. And it was in that quote you just gave.
Yeah. So it's not just racism, it's violent racism.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I mean, the quote you gave was perfect. It was about, you know, fighting against some people group because you think you're superior and getting rid of them. And your fragment of the population would then get bigger because of this violent struggle. So, evolution really is it's a theory of survival of the fittest, you know, of survival of of who can be the most aggressive, the most violent, the most domineering, and you're doing it so you can survive and move up the evolutionary ladder, which fits it fits perfectly with you know, racism and oppressing, you know, people groups, enslaving them and trying to justify it somehow, and it's certainly not biblical whatsoever.
Yeah.
In fact, I think that's an important thing we need to note, is that not only does Darwin's theory undergird racism, but it also promotes violence and aggression on top of it. It's like a double whammy of evil.
Yeah. It is evil at its core. And we have Thomas Huxley. I have here that he was the man perhaps most responsible for the widespread acceptance of evolution. Why is that?
He was known as Darwin's bulldog. So Darwin was the idea man, the guy that wrote the books and came and really formulated the idea during his era. But Huxley was known as Darwin's bulldog. So he basically took Darwin's ideas and promoted them. He was like the PR guy.
Gotcha.
Right.
And
of course, Huxley was part of the elite upper crust establishment. And so, you know, once again, we talked about this in the previous podcast, you know, who had the money and the power while all this was going on? England, the United States, Germany. And so, and so Huxley was a chief PR man that really promoted Darwin's ideas.
And he had the money and power to do so. So I have a quote from him. This is after the American Civil War. So this is after America fought a very bloody war about, you know, slavery, about, you know, racism, and it's, you know, and the right side won in that case. So this is Thomas Huxley looking at America, where we have just fought a war over the fact of, like, hey, are black people, right? Are they free? Are they no longer slaves? And so he said right after that, no rational man cognizant of the facts believes that the average Negro is the equal, still less the superior, of the white man. And if this be true, it is simply incredible that when all his disabilities are removed and our prognathous relative has a fair field and no favor, as well as no oppressor, he will be able to compete successfully with his bigger-brained and smaller-jawed rival in a contest which is to be carried out by thoughts and not by bites. And that, like, honestly, reading that makes me sick. So we have this man who is saying, after America frees the slaves, hey, look, we know that white people are better than black people. That is what he's saying.
Well, he's saying, and we'll move this agenda forward with our thoughts or our ideas, which they promoted in academia, and which became the standard in academia in the United States, in Europe. People don't realize how interconnected, you know, these people were that were, you know, in academia, in this upper crust of society, they're very well connected across the United States and Europe. And the United States had lots of connections to the things that were going on right before World War II. Mm. I'm not going to mention the particular wealthy families, but that were supporting, there were wealthy families in the United States that were supporting what was going on at the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute and the racist stuff that was going on in Germany. And of course, after the war, they tried to cover that up and disassociate themselves. But, you know, like I mentioned before in the previous podcast, Hitler was Time Magazine's Man of the Year. His picture was on the cover of Time Magazine. Hitler was a complete racist. And that was right before World War II. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, racism, and it evolved into what we would call the eugenics movement in the 1900s, which was popular in the United States, which included the forced sterilization of people that they thought were inferior. Mm-hmm. And as you noted in a previous podcast with Dr. Galuza, you know, that even happened in the 1970s. Yeah. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah. And
so, yeah, so these terrible ideas of eugenics and racism, you know, were still going on until not that long ago.
Yeah, still percolating down. And we have here Thomas Huxley, the man, again, most responsible for the acceptance of evolution, other than Charles Darwin himself, is saying such a grossly racist thing
right
from the very beginning. So clearly, evolutionists today, they don't want to be identified with racism. And although racism existed before, you know, the acceptance of evolution, I would say like biological arguments for racism certainly increased after it was accepted, right?
Yeah, and I gave you that quote from Stephen Jay mm-hmm. Gould, a very famous modern evolutionist. He passed away not that long ago. So Stephen Jay Gould said, biological arguments for racism may have been common before 1850, but they increased by orders of magnitude following the acceptance of evolutionary theory.
Yeah.
So even Stephen Jay Gould admitted that racism exploded, you know, after Darwin's ideas and the acceptance of evolutionary theory, which we mentioned that Thomas Huxley had a huge part in promoting, you know, across the world.
Yeah. Well, I have another quote from Darwin here. And it was thought that, like, in their words, lesser races, to be clear, we're not claiming that. Darwin thought that non-white races were lesser beings and that at some point they would be removed as just part of the natural order of things. This will just happen through evolution. And his quote is, at some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. At the same time, the anthropomorphous apes will no doubt be exterminated. The break between man and his nearest allies will then be wider, for it will intervene between man and a more civilized state, as we may hope, even than the Caucasian and some ape as low as baboon, instead of, as now, between the Negro or Australian and the gorilla. So, like, I'm reading this, and it's saying, like, hey, it is just going to happen that white people will exterminate the lower races. He's saying that the evolutionary gap between ape and human will grow. Am I reading that correctly? Do you have thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, and of course, we can see none of this ever happened.
Right.
We still have gorillas. Gorillas are still gorillas, and they just make more gorillas.
Right.
It's the gorilla kind. There's the chimpanzee kind, and chimps are still alive and well, mm-hmm. and they just make more chimps, and they haven't changed either. And of course, orangutans, the same thing. And of course, humans now are diverse, mm-hmm. as we were talking about in the break in between podcasts, you know, we live in Dallas, Texas, one of the most diverse places in the country, really. So you'll go into any store, a grocery store, a drugstore or whatever. And it's like the United Nations. I mean, there's people from almost every people group in there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Darwin was flat out wrong. You know, people just make more people. And there's no different races of people. There's just different people groups. You know, some people say ethnicities and whatever. I like to use the word people group.
Yeah.
Because people, you know, are interfertile with anyone else on the planet, and they just make more humans. Mm-hmm. And of course, humans, it's not necessarily good to say humans are, they are the humankind, but they're different because humans were created in the image of God.
Yeah.
And of course, that image became corrupt at the fall of man, at the fall of Adam in the garden. But humans are the pinnacle of God's creation.
Yeah.
And we see that in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And it's terrible to overlay this evolutionary nonsense and racism and violence, struggle for the fittest, upon humans.
Yeah,
it's not biblical, and it's evil.
It is, it's gross, and it's like we know that now. And I'm wondering, you know, anyone in the 18th century, I don't know their minds or their thought processes because I wasn't there.
We need to think about how are modern humans influenced by so-called science?
Right.
Yeah,
it affects us all.
Yeah, right? It affects us all in a lot of different ways. And it affects our understanding of the Bible and the integrity of the scriptures. And the fact of the matter is that much of what passes for modern science, and I'm talking about theoretical science like evolution, is not scientifically supported. You know, we don't see things morphing into other kinds of things. We don't see evolution actually happening. You know, we see creatures and humans staying the same and just reproducing, after their kind.
Yeah.
And humans making more humans. Of course, as I mentioned, humans are created in the image of God. And, that image has been corrupted. And it's that corruption in humans, which, you know, when you mix that with evolutionary ideas, is a really bad outcome.
Yeah, and that's where this leads. And again, it happened in America, too. We want to be, we're taking a lot of, I guess in these episodes, we've taken a lot of, we've pointed the finger at Darwin and, Great Britain and Germany, when we talked about the Holocaust. But I just have one more quote here from American biologist Edwin G. Conklin. He was the professor of biology at Princeton and president of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. So pretty elite dude.
Yes.
And he said, every consideration should lead those who believe in the superiority of the white race to strive to preserve its purity and to establish and maintain the segregation of the races. For the longer this is maintained, the greater the preponderance of the white race will be. Again, it's gross. I've used that word a lot and I shouldn't. That's, not good podcast etiquette or whatever, but like it makes me sick this is where the science of our country is coming from, is just pure, unadulterated racism.
Right. And, the only solution is to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and read the scriptures. And let me give a really good example of how that happened. So there was a famous Confederate general. He was very successful in his military tactics, Nathan Bedford Forrest. And he owned slaves, and he definitely was a racist. And he, after the Civil War, he even helped start the Ku Klux Klan. Oh, wow. However, at the end of his life, he became a born-again Christian, and he actually gave a speech once and presented flowers, I think there were roses, to a black lady and kissed her on the cheek. And he totally repented of his ideas. And he was right in the middle of the 1800s. Mm. He knew he was a smart man. He knew all about Darwin's ideas and how they supported racism. But you know what? He got born again. He became a new man in Christ and completely repented of all that false thinking. So,
yeah.
And if he can do it back then.
Oh, yeah. It would take some courage.
It took a lot of courage. And well, he was obviously a a courageous a military guy, but yeah, that was really amazing.
Yeah. And so like we know, despite its current attempts to like avoid racist undertones, evolution is just inherently racist at its core, and we've seen that like apply to its fullest extent. Evolution results in racist ideologies, eugenics, most notably, like it results in Nazi Germany. Like that's where that goes. But we know that the Christian, the born again Christian, like Nathan Bedford Forrest, the Christian has no option to be racist.
No, I mean, he got born again radically, gave his life to Jesus Christ, and, you know, it totally revolutionized his entire perspective. Mm-hmm. He began walking in love and realizing, you know, that everyone was created in God's image. And, yeah, I mean, that's just radical, so.
Yeah. Well, I have, I'll get your closing thoughts here in a second. I just have a verse that I'd like to put on the screen. And this is from the book of Acts, you know, so this is early on in church history. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. I just want to draw attention to that. One blood. Every nation comes from one blood. We're all humans. We're all made in the image of God. The Christian has no option to be racist.
Yeah, exactly, and actually, that means genetics. Really, mm-hmm. I know the Greek word "haima," which is blood, but you know that's how we think of genetics. You know, we talk about bloodlines. Mm-hmm. We talk about having close, you know, blood relatives. You know, this is my cousin; he's a close blood relative, and so. Yeah, that's basically a statement from the book of Acts saying that all of humanity came from Adam and Eve. All that genetic diversity to create all these different people groups, every shade of humans with different levels of melanin in their skin is what causes you know, people to have light or dark or in between, you know, colored skin, olive colored skin. And so it's actually a somewhat complex trait because only 6 genes are able to account for 30% of the variation in human skin color. So there's a lot of complex genetics and pathways going on there. So obviously there's more than 6 genes to account for the other 70% of the variation.
Right.
So I mean, there's a lot of genetic diversity built into humans and it all came from the original ancestral couple that verse you just quoted in Acts talks about. All of that genetic variation was built into Adam and Eve, and we all came from one blood, all the kindreds and tongues and nations, people groups on this earth.
Mm-hmm. And in eternity, they will all be there as well.
Yeah, that's what's so wonderful is that, you know, we talked about the Tower of Babel in the previous podcast, how that was responsible for creating, you know, all these different people groups that we see today, because after the global flood, everyone stayed in one place. They spoke the same language. It looked like they tried to recreate their pre-flood pagan empire. They disobeyed God, who told them to spread out and go out into the earth and repopulate it. They disobeyed. So God confused their languages. And so you're only going to breed or marry someone and have a family with whom you can communicate and speak the same language. So all these languages were confused, and it immediately caused all of these different subsets of human genetics to go out across the earth, and that's why we see all this diversity.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know what all these people meant for evil by disobeying God and staying in one place, God meant it for good. Because as you noted, we have that scripture in the book of Revelations, which talks about people from every kindred, tribe, and tongue, and nation who have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, being in heaven and all together worshiping God around his throne. All this human diversity.
Amen. Yeah. Well, that's a solid ending. I want to give you one more opportunity. If you have any just final thoughts or encouragements to our viewers or listeners, anything you want to say?
Yeah, I would say, you know, go to the Bible and go to Genesis, because that explains, you know, humanity. It explains where all the people groups came from. Most importantly, it explains where humans came from. Mm-hmm. They were created on the sixth day as the pinnacle of creation in God's image. And of course, that image has been marred by sin, because Adam and Eve fell into sin and plunged the human race into depravity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this human wickedness and depravity underlies much of this false scientific theory of survival of the fittest and Darwinian evolution and the racism that is fostered by evolutionary theory. So, you know, go back to the Bible, go to Genesis. And in fact, if we do that, we see that everything in Genesis lines up with our current scientific knowledge.
Mm. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for just offering your time and expertise to chat about this very a vital topic. It seems to be a more pressing topic every day, right? So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's been good. Yeah.
And thank you to all of our viewers and listeners for joining us. We hope that this was an encouraging podcast. We hope that you were able to take away some of the reasoning behind where, you know, evolution leads inherently to racism. It's in the creators, the creator of evolution, like, he talked about it, and it was a part of it from the very beginning. So we hope that was just eye-opening, and we hope that you just can share this with other people. Make sure to like, subscribe, and if you want to get this podcast, The Creation Podcast, a week early, or you want to get our monthly podcast, creation.live, 2 weeks early, you can become a member on YouTube or on Patreon. There's links in the description below. There's also some other goodies and other things if you, depending on what tier you join at. So, but for now, we'll see you next time on The Creation Podcast.